team lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Did you need a lawyer?
Maybe. Luke 8, verse 24, finally. Well, let's start in verse 22 and so we remember where we are. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Well, I'm gonna take a side trip here a minute. This morning's sunrise was just incredible. Did anybody else see it?
Yeah, we did.
And it reminded me of 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. Or maybe it's 1 Peter. It's one of the Peters. Yeah, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's start in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, just stop there a minute. He along with Peter and John and James, I guess, were they the three that saw the transfiguration? They saw this incredible sight, that unbelievable. It's beyond comprehension that they could see Elijah and Moses talking with Christ, and they spake only of his death. And then the voice from heaven they heard saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Peter here has the gall to say that we have a more sure word than that. Now, that's talking to each one of you. You have a more sure word than being an eyewitness of the transfiguration, an eyewitness of Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. The hearing the voice of God without any question, without any shadow or turning, you have a more sure word of prophecy. Why?
Christ in us.
Right. And so listen to what he says. We have also a more sure, more confirmed, if you will, word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Take heed as to the light shining in the dark place. Now, there's no doubt that each one of you have seen that light in the dark place at some point in your life. And he's saying, take heed only to that. just as we had night and it was hard to see, then we had the sunrise. And the intermediate place between the dark and the sunrise was this incredible sunrise, if you will, with a bright orange and reds. And as that sun rose, it informed everything. Everything was seen in a different light compared to the darkness. And the scriptures are clear that our minds have been in darkness all this time. But now take heed as to the light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. And that day star arising in your heart is when everything is informed by this new light. You have no excuse. You can delay the rise of that sun in your heart by continuing to pay attention to your mind and your emotions. You control that sunrise. It's there. It's fully risen. The only reason you can't see it is because you continually look at self and pay attention to the mind, the words of the mind, and the emotions. So they continue to walk in darkness. And it's just silly.
You say we have a choice?
It's not a choice. You already know the emptiness and futility. Again, it's by repentance. Repentance.
So
repentance.
It's rebellion you're talking about.
Right.
Than a decision to be made. The decision's already made. You're
in rebellion.
Pushing it away or something. Yeah.
Every time, again, his humility is so great that he will not occupy where you are. So every time you are the subject of your mind talk, your thoughts and your emotions, then he takes the lowest seat. We are to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. So there's no more two minds. You have the mind of Christ if you let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It isn't a struggle unless you make it a struggle. It's a finished work. Anybody have any response to that?
We talked about Nick's saying when he hears his mind talk, he says, "Get behind me, you bastard." Anyway, that came to mind.
Yeah.
Of a mystery in here, because the mind of Christ being having emptied, then it's like you're fully connected to God, but not by a mind, but by a life, which is different than a mind. And it was like we talked yesterday, that God's in the background doing all this stuff, and that's what you're connected to, but it doesn't work through your mind.
Well, it does if you, again, it's all about repentance. Then there is the mind of Christ. If there is the emptying, then there's not two. You're not two anymore.
Does Christ think then?
Christ is in 100% dependence on the Father. He didn't pay any, a son of man, he paid no attention to his mind after his baptism.
What does his mind do?
His mind is a channel to the Father. That's all.
That's why he says, "I can do nothing except what I see my Father do."
Amen.
I've been thinking about that.
That's the problem.
About know, paying no attention to your mind, you know, I've heard it. Heard it often.
For 20 years.
20 years. Yeah, right. And sad to say, I haven't figured it out.
There's nothing to figure out, Ronnie.
And I keep trying to not pay attention to my mind. That doesn't work because I end up paying attention.
Why? How's that worked out for you to pay attention to it?
Well, you know, it hadn't worked. You know, it hadn't worked.
And it's never going to work. Your mind is always the mortal enemy of God. Your mind is the instead of Christ. Go to John 14. Repentance, 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 repentance. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There's no separation. You're not a victim of the universe anymore. You're not a victim of yourself. You're not a victim of others. At that day, you shall know, you shall know, you shall know. Genosko means the word has been made flesh. You know that you know that you know. It's not a philosophy. It's not a how-to. It's the simple recognition that your mind and your emotions have been your mortal enemy your entire life. They've never once been your friend, except in very narrow parameters. You've convinced yourself that you've got all these right opinions, and you keep narrowing the walls of the perimeter until you get it so short that you can have the illusion that your mind is your friend and that your opinions are right.
Just don't tell anybody.
Well, not here. Don't tell anybody. Unless you want to, you tell everybody. Unless you want to walk as a hypocrite the rest of your life.
That's like walking in darkness. That's what that is. And thinking it's light.
At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There's no separation anymore. Go to John 5. That answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. No separation. Let's go to John 8. Verse 25. Well, let's start earlier. Verse 23. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am...
He said John 8.
Verse
23. Okay.
And he said unto them, you are from the beneath. It's talking to you. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. It's not very hard to understand.
So, back in the other, back in, what was that, John 14? Where we were at. And where he was saying that he is in his Father. His Father is in him. And he is in us. And then, okay, that was afterwards. But, you know, here he's saying that we are.
Oh, he's not. He's talking to Pharisees. People that don't see. Still makes separation. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. It's not sins. It's sin. Singular. I have many things to say unto you and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understand not that he spake them of his Father. Then he said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's all he can do, because his seed is the seed of righteousness. The seed reproduces itself. You are of the seed of this world. The seed of you sons of the serpent is what John the Baptist said. Again, that's your mind. Your mind is the son of the serpent. You're child of the devil. That's your mind. Why in God's name would you ever pay attention to it? Let's go to John 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night came. It's in the middle of the afternoon when he was crucified. We've been in that night since then, when no man can work. There's nothing that you can do to please God. What you see with your senses is the same thing the Gentiles see with their senses and know by their senses. He is not of this world.
If we were obedient?
No, if you die. You're already dead. You stop paying attention to that faker that's masquerading as Ronnie. That instead of Christ, that's sitting in the temple of God. Now, the reason this is so important is that otherwise you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to use your mind to comprehend spiritual things. It can't be done. Spiritual things will be made manifest as they will apprehend you as you empty, as you really repent, as you totally get rid of self, divorce yourself. Reckon yourself crucified. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. You mortify them by seeing them as dead, of no value. Anything else, you still walk in darkness. Oh, no, I've got a good idea. No, you don't. Well, God is showing me. No, he's not. Unless he shows you you're dead, you're paying attention to the wrong God. And then there will be nothing about the future or the past. There will be only the eternal now. You've left time and space. Your home is the mercy seat. You're at the first source of all things. Why would you give that up? Why would you sell your birthright? To justify some act on earth? To pay attention to a need? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How can you, if you don't want anything, you can't need anything. It's a different world. The sun has arisen in us and it's informed everything. We no longer see the same things they see. We see through everything, not see at anything. What's going on, Tom?
Nothing was going on. I'm not trying to comprehend it. I'm trying not to comprehend it. I'm just hearing.
As it said back when we studied, this is the desire of the nations. This is the only thing that will fulfill your heart's desire. And you keep leaving it for some little crap that's going on in time and space. You got an opinion about politics. Or you got an opinion about the right way to do something. Or you hate labels.
I was thinking what you said a minute ago, like a conundrum. You can't do anything to please God.
What? What must we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who you sent. Not believe intellectually, that's crap. So does every Muslim, so does every Hindu, so does every... That's just self trying to be self. Yeah. Self-realization in the name of God.
And they create grand religions.
It's just a bunch of lies.
And yet to please God, you abandon, you give up.
No, he is the only one that can please God. He must be your life, your only self. This isn't anything new. This is what I've been preaching for 40 years. It'll be 40 years, January 17th. It's the day I became a believer. That means I'm 40 years, I'll be 40 years old January 17th. You don't think so? Why not? I look 85. All right, that's enough. We didn't even get to one verse today. Can anybody have any response?
Yeah,
don't make one up.
No, I'm not making one up. My response is that, like you said, thinking or thinking that there's something to do or something that I can do to apprehend this.
Mortify. That means see correctly. See yourself as dead. You can't try to die. That's a contradiction in terms. You see yourself as dead. Just see yourself as Harry. He's not worried about anything. He's not giving any breath to anything. That's what happens, should have happened at your baptism. You were buried.
He's rearranging heaven.
I don't think so. He's up there playing with his little puppy. No, he's not. All right. Mr. Bojo, any response? Amen. Take it, big guy.
Oh, boy.